welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Of your power, God. We thank you how you thus far have moved in the midst of where we are, God. Somebody was having a flashback. Somebody was just thinking of all the goodness, God. God, we know that this is not a competition we in, God. This is a fight, God, for Jesus Christ, God. So, God, we bless your name today, God. We allow you, God, to enter into this sacred space. And in our hearts, God, strengthen us by power divine, that we can praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Minister Tamika. That was awesome. How you allowed the Lord to enter into you. You know, sometimes I think we're in competition. I think you think you have to be at church to have a praise. But I pray that if you are watching this service, I don't know what you were doing in your bedroom. I don't know what you were doing in the kitchen. I don't know what you were doing in the garage. But boy, you should have been getting your praise up. Because that is not been for the Lord on our side. Where would we be? I'm just grateful today. God is a good God. He's a great God. Even in the midst of this pandemic we're in, he's still God. He's in control, and he knew who would be here on this day. So we're grateful for that. I want to make another announcement that we omitted, that Brother Al Daniels, his mother went home to be with the Lord. And they are doing a graveside service, which I'll be doing for him on Wednesday. So we want to just keep him in prayer. As well. You know, sometimes I think that even in challenges of life, we think that nothing is supposed, what else could go wrong? But that's the way we think. God said he already knew what was going to happen.
That's right.
And today I want to share with you this particular message, because I think that when we see words that God used in the text, according to the writers of the text, it may not be God as we know it. But there's a word in here, it's a word called an anthropomorphism. And anthropomorphism is when God explains himself to man or woman in human terms. So when God says he regrets that he made an individual, it ain't the same regret that you and I said. God is just using that in human terms so you can get the full picture. And sometimes we get misled, because I want to make sure that you understand the story that I'm going to share with you from the 1 Samuel 15 chapter, beginning at verse 1. And the caption, it says, the Lord rejects Saul as king. But later on, down through verse 11, we're going to see where it says that the Lord regret that he made him king. And I want to make sure that you understand that. That's what I see in the text. It's an anthropomorphism. It means that God is just explaining it, because that's how you relate to it. You understand it now, because you may have been there yourself. So if you can stand on your feet, those that are here. And thanks to Preacher Lingam, he did the Rahab story last week. Talks about salvation. And I believe that what we're going to share this morning is the basis of our salvation is that we have to have obedience to God. It says here that Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from God. He said, this is what the Lord Almighty says, I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them, put them to death, men and women, children and infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys. Now that's love.
Yeah.
Samson, that's what the Lord said.
Yes.
He said, spare nobody. So Saul summoned the men and mustered them at Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the Kenites, go away, leave the Amalekites, so that I do not destroy you along with them, for you showed kindness to all of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. And then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, to the east of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all the people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag, and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, and everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that will despise and weep, they totally destroy. Then verse 10 says, and then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I am grieved, he said, that I have made Saul a king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was troubled, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. The Lord told him to destroy everything, did he not? Matter of fact, he went into detail and told him everything. He said, men, women, did he not? Children. And if you didn't get that, he said infants. And if they got a dog, a cat, a mice, he said destroy everything.
Yes, he did.
But he went in and did his own thing. He kept what he thought needed to be kept. So this morning, I want you to think with me. When God tells you to do something, just do it.
Yeah.
When God tells you to do something, just do it.
Amen.
Don't try to get Dr. Phil's advice. Don't try to call Oprah and Google her. When God tells you to do something, just do it. The Lord gave Saul another opportunity to prove himself. And if God gave him another opportunity, that means he fell somewhere along the way. He failed again and lied about it and was judged. And Saul had a habit of substituting sayings for doing and making excuses instead of confessing his sins. See, no matter what happened, it was always somebody else's fault. I think about my own self. No matter what happens, I gotta blame one. She's the closest thing to me. And y'all ain't gonna question. How are you gonna question me? No, my wife made me do it. He always had to blame somebody. He was more concerned about looking good before the people than being good before God. You want to look good before people, as opposed to being good before God. Have you ever read a a scripture or a command from God that you did not lack or you thought you could not possibly follow. This is one of them. Perhaps you have read a verse and you liked the first part, but thought the second part was unnecessary. Maybe you read it and thought it was relevant to the people in biblical times, but God could not possibly have meant it for our generation. See, some people find it difficult to believe that the Lord would command an entire nation to be destroyed just because of what their ancestors had done centuries before. Why do we find it so hard to do the things we know that are right and actually are in our best interest? We find it hard because sometimes we miss the whole point. Our focus is not on God, our focus is on ourselves. See, truth be told, we don't always agree with God. Am I right about it? Many times we do God's will as long as we see the sense of it and agree with it. Yet we feel free to change it around a little to suit our own lives while ignoring God's command. God didn't really mean for me to do all of that. He told me the beginning. I got the beginning. I'm gonna run with that. That's how we are as humans. We want to understand the reasons and know the logic behind it. We want to know the why. But that's why Isaiah tells us our thoughts are not his thoughts. Neither are our ways his ways. His ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts. But we forget about that. We choose where we want to live, don't we? You chose the job you want. You chose who you wanted to marry. You choose the restaurant you want to go eat at. You choose the car you want to buy and drive. You choose whatever you want to do. But we make all these decisions based on what we prefer and what we desire and that which is appropriate. You do that. And God gives us freedom to do that. But when he gives you a command, just do it. Amen. There are consequences when we disobey God. And sometimes we already know, those of us that are believers, those of us that know his word, we know the consequences. So when we don't do it, that tells me we're okay with the consequences. And boy, when the consequences come, woe is me. Lord, I didn't mean it. Lord, just please forgive me. This 110th time. Not the first time. Just forgive me 110th time. Just forgive me one more time. And I promise I won't do it again. And God forgives us. And this is where that word is, that where it says in the text that God was grieved because of what Saul making him king. And that's just so you understand that God wasn't grieved. God knows every hair on your head. He knows your thoughts. He knew what you were going to do before you did. So don't miss it. Don't miss the point. He already knows you. Saul was appointed the first king of Israel. But he struggled with following God's orders. God told Saul that he remembered what the Amalekites had done to Israel. And God gave Saul specific instructions to utterly destroy Amalek and to not spare one person or animal. Now that's kind of harsh, isn't it? Can you imagine the Lord coming to the church of Redeemer and said to the church, I want you to destroy everything in here. I don't care about Kirkland. I don't care about the founders. He said, I want you to just destroy everything in here. Now that would be a problem, wouldn't it? We said, Lord, we got a lot of history.
Rev Franklin meant a lot for us. But because he don't show us why he's asking us to do it, that's the problem. This is what the problem was in this text. Saul couldn't understand. Wait a minute. You want us to destroy everything? That just don't make a whole lot of sense. Maybe God fell down and bumped his head or something. He must have missed something. And that's how we are as a people. Who were the Amalekites? They were the descendants from Esau, the unbelieving brother of Jacob and the enemy of the Jewish people. People are either for the Lord or they're against the Lord. And if they're against him, they must suffer the consequences. That's just plain and simple. If you're for the Lord, that's okay. But if you're against him, there are consequences. Saul attacked Amalek, but instead of destroying everyone and everything, he decided to spare Agag, the king of the Amalekites. Not only that, but he kept the best of the animals and all that he deemed good for himself. He decided to do it his way and blatantly disobeyed God. And the only person that I know in our society that had this song, Frank Sinatra, he said, "I did it my way." You gotta stop trying to do stuff your way. Your way don't mean a thing in the sight of God. Your way is what got you the problem that you have now. Your way has kept you oppressed all your life because you're doing it your way. You better do what God says. When God tells you to do something, just do it. You don't need all the information behind it. Won't do you no good anyway. Because you're always trying to run ahead of God. We're always trying to outthink God. We always think we're smarter than God. Maybe God forgot about this. If God allowed men to write these 66 sacred books and put words in his mouth, why would you think God wouldn't know what he's doing? See, opposition to the will of God is as bad as divination by the help of the evil spirit. Serving God acceptably involves doing the will of God in the right way, at the right time, and with the right motives. God had given Saul another chance, and he had failed miserably. I think about all the chances that God has given me. I think about all the chances that God has given each and every one of us. Because he's that type of God. He just wants us to mature and grow. To obey is not easy. It takes trust. It takes faith. And it also takes humility. To those of us who need a wake-up call, to those of us who need rescue, to those of us who need hope, God's word gives it to us in this story today. See, a careful study of this story from Saul's life reveals not only how important it is to obey God, it also shows us how we can do it by his grace. And I believe that as I look in the text, there are three pathways to obedience to God. And the first one I want to address is when you fear God. When you fear God. See, since Saul was so disobedient to God, this is an obvious implication to me that he was disobedient because he did not fear God. Think about when your parents, those of us that had parents that disciplined, were strong disciplinarians. We knew what the consequences and the punishment was immediately, right? And sometimes it was to the point that we feared them. When my grandmama said, "Boy, I told y'all don't go out the yard, and if you go out the yard again, I guarantee you won't go out it another time." So once she inflicted the first punishment, My brother and I looked at ourselves. He said, man, you want to go next? I said, no, I ain't going out. The yard, boy. She darn near killed us the last time. He said, you scared? I said, yep. You ought to be scared too. Because if you go, I'm going to tell on you. That's the type of fear. There are a number of believers who say that they are Christians, but they do not fear God. How are you going to be a believer? How are you going to be a Christian and you don't fear God? The text tells me he's a holy God. The text tells me we can't come to him any kind of way. We can call him all we want to call him. Our Ace Boo-Boo, my Road Dog, my God, Dot Rider, and all that stuff. But he's a holy God. We got to fear God. Saul over and over again displayed a complete lack of fear of God. God elevated him. He got puffed up. He thought more highly of himself than he did of God. Do you see yourself now? God brought you out of something. Now you running a country. You might be running an organization. You might be supervising a number of people. You got huge budget. Now you think you're somebody. They don't call you by your first name. They call you Miss or Mister. Think about that. This is where Saul finds himself. Saul was a people pleaser and a man fearer. His life, and especially the sins he committed, flowed from his fear of men. If you fear God, you will not fear men. And if you fear men, you cannot fear God. Saul's first major blunder was in chapter 13 of this book of Samuel. He assembled the men of Israel to go to war against the Philistines. Before he could begin the battle, he had to wait for Samuel to come and offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. He waited for 7 days, and which was the set time, and Samuel didn't show up. So he thought it was okay for him to do the sacrifice. And sometimes that's what we want to do. We want to always run ahead of God. God, I've been waiting for a long time, but this bill is due today. I've been waiting, God. They're going to cut my power off. I had to do what I had to do. So I went to my neighbor's house and knocked on the door, and they weren't there. So I just opened the door and went in. And I didn't see nobody, but I saw a purse, God. And I just happened to look in the purse, and it was enough money to pay my bill, but I took the bill and paid it, but I never told my neighbor what happened. God, you know I needed it. I tried to wait on you. You kept telling me you were going to bail me out. I just couldn't see how it was going to happen. So I did it myself. I took it upon my own self to do it. And there are situations that we regret, but when God tells us to do something, we just have to do it.
Yes.
Saul became impatient, and he took matters into his own hand. Mm-hmm. When there's no fear of God before your eyes, you're not willing to do or give God his rightful place in your life. When we know that Christ is supposed to be the one in charge of us, but we keep trying to run our own lives. See, your life is not your own. My life is not my own. Once we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he became our charge and our master. We ought to be familiar with it as African Americans. We've been slaves for a long time. I'm okay with being a slave for Christ. I don't know about you. I'm okay being persecuted for Jesus because I know he has something better for me. See, we talk about how much the Lord means to us and just how precious he is, but the truth is, really, we don't really live it. See, when you fear God, you will be less likely to do some of the stuff that you do. If you feel God. I ain't saying talk about it. I ain't saying speak about it. I'm saying walk and live about it. That's the difference. Here's the second thing that I see. When you understand yourself. When you understand yourself. See, you've heard it before probably. It's a rephrasing of a quote by a cartoonist. His name was Walter Kelly. He rephrased this quote. He said, "We have met the enemy, and the enemy is us." But the original quote is, "We have met the enemy, and he is ours." But he rephrased this quote because the meaning was, man's mistreatment of the earth is the planet's enemy. This was a true reflection of Saul. His greatest enemy was not the thousand of fierce Philistines arrayed against him, but it was his own heart, which was desperately evil. It wasn't the enemy. It was his own heart. And I thought about that. If you remember the Lord's Prayer, it says what? Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemy. Well, all I know, every time I sit down to eat, if I'm by myself, I'm preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Ain't nobody there but me. When I go look in the mirror, ain't nobody there but me. Sometimes we want to make the enemy be distant, but sometimes we are our own worst enemy. And this is where Saul found himself. Saul understood the damage an enemy warrior could do for his country, but he never understood the damage he could do to himself. See, his greatest enemy was himself. The Bible says that all of us have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. Mm-hmm. All of us are filled with pride, lie to ourselves about ourselves, and have hearts that want to swoop down on God's spoils. Stop lying to yourself. You see, Saul never really saw his need for God after he became big in his own eyes. See, when we become puffed up, we become big in our own eyes, when we think we had the bootstraps to pull us up, God is an afterthought. And sometimes we go around listening what people say. When we become Mr. and Miss Bister, the reason we are disobedient is that we sometimes do not really understand just how desperately wicked our hearts can be. You see, the power of obedience will be released in our lives when we come to truly fear God. And when we see ourselves the way God sees us, that's a blessing. If we can see ourselves the way God sees us. Here's the third point to obedience. When you take responsibility. That is something Saul never does. Instead, he makes all kinds of excuses for his sins. See, the word of God simply did not penetrate Saul's mind and heart, and he continued to worry about maintaining his what? His reputation rather than getting right with the Lord. See, evidently, it just didn't seem reasonable to Saul and the people to do what God said to do. They probably thought things like, why waste the perfectly good sheep? I can sacrifice this sheep for the Lord. Why kill the pair of oxen when I can use them to plow my field? Why kill a lamb in Passover coming? See, there are always justification and ramifications of how we can get by and excuse our acts. God's command just seemed completely unreasonable. And as believers, we too know what God says. He says, give him the first fruit of what? Our increase. But that seems foolish, doesn't it? He says that sex before marriage is a sin, but living together makes so much financial sense. He says, turn the other cheek, but I was taught to never back down from a fight. Don't God understand what we're going through, where we are? Don't he know where we live? Don't he know that things are different now than they were before? This is a wake-up call for all of us. And because God's commands seem unreasonable, we excuse our disobedience. And often, we selectively repent of those sins that are the least enticing while hanging on to those that bring the most pleasure. Or we repent of those glaring sins that others see while enjoying those sins that we keep a secret in our hearts. We hide it from people, but we can't hide it from God. Because if it's in your heart, doesn't God look at the heart? So who you hid it from? You can't even hide it from yourself. Because that's why you can't sleep at night, because you're constantly thinking about it. That's why you're pacing the floor. We already know what we did. And even though we did it, we still go along with it. Those thus to know God's will and desperately disobey it is to put ourselves above God, and therefore we become what I see our own God. There were several signs of hypocrisy in Saul's repentance. And I want to tell you what those seven were. He besought Samuel only and seemed most anxious to stand right in his opinion. He wanted to gain his favor. The second one, he said, he excused his fault when confessing it. The third one, all his care was to save his credit and preserve his interest in the people. See, how many lies did Saul tell to try to justify his reason for what he did? The prophet rejected all Saul's lies and explained why God could not accept the animals as legitimate sacrifices. See, the Lord wants living obedience from the heart, not dead animals on the altar. God doesn't need any donations from us. And the sacrifice God designed is a broken and contrite heart. Mm-hmm. He wants your heart. See, we cannot pick and choose what part of God's commands we want to follow and ignore the other parts. Wrongdoing is always wrong, despite our efforts to excuse our actions. Wrong is wrong even when you don't get caught. And God told Saul, go, and gave him a specific instructions about what he was supposed to do. Saul went, but he did things his own way instead of God's way. And he had to suffer the consequences. I think that there are consequences in everything that we do. And sometimes we don't really realize it until the consequences are upon us. I got to tell you this story because I'm done. The story is a story about fleas. Fleas are trained by putting them in a cardboard box with the top on it. The fleas will jump up and down and hit the top of the cardboard box over and over again. And as you watch them jump up and hit the top of the lid, something very interesting becomes obvious. The fleas continue to jump, but they are no longer jumping high enough to hit the top of the lid. Even when the lid is taken off, the fleas continue to jump. But they will not jump out of the box. Well, why, preacher? The reason is simple. They have conditioned themselves to jump only so high. Yeah. And once they have conditioned themselves to jump only so high, that's all they can ever do. Well, why you tell us this story? I'm glad you asked. See, many times in life, we allow people to become the lid that keep us from jumping higher. We are so eager to look good in others' sight and suffer the consequences of God. Don't be misled by the nice things people say about you. What good is it to have somebody's opinion that causes you to miss God's blessing? To obey is better than sacrifice. We have been conditioned just like the fleas. Once our land is removed, we can only jump so high. Saul allowed the pleasing of people to be his first priority. His ego became so big, it drowned out the voice of God. See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when God tells you to do something, all you got to do is just do what he said. Because he said his word won't return to him, boy. Stop being like a flea. Stop trying to do your own thing. Stop trying to do it your way. It's your way that got you in the mess that you're in now.
All right now.
Let's do what God says do. Obviously, God has a plan. Not only for you, but he's also got one for the church. I'm done. You can play softly. There may be somebody listening to the message today. Nike has the iconic symbol, just do it. The Christian symbol is Jesus Christ on the cross. He already done it, so you just need to follow him.
Yeah.
If you don't know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sin, it's very easy. All you have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. He said salvation is yours. Is there one man, woman, boy, girl? Is there one that's out of the ark of safety? Is there one that needs to be baptized? Is there one that's in a backsliding condition? Is there one that has found everything but a church home? We're here today to send salvation. Is there one? As she's saying, I know you can't come and give me your hand, but give God your heart and just give me a call. Call the church. We accept that. That's your profession of faith. Is there one? Are you on the phone? Do you need Christ in your life? He loves you. Are you there? Are you watching this broadcast? We ain't just having church. We're doing the will of God. We're looking for those that need to come in from the outside. It's not raining, but it's raining in your life. There's trouble you going through, and you need to come in. We have the umbrella of protection, and that's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. There's dwelling of the Spirit. Is that one? Say, Minister Tamika.